Welcome back to the Daily Thunder Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. I'm here with my guy, Brandon Rabar. Brandon, this is our first show since the summer back in July. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Since the last time we had a Daily Thunder podcast, the Thunder have rattled off quite the season. We haven't got to talk about it yet, but currently in a three-way tie for number one at the top of the West as we record this, just past the trade deadline. So it's been a good season. Let's catch up on the last few months.
It's been remarkable. It's really exceeded, I think, the highest of expectations. I don't think even the biggest Thunder homer, which I think you would identify with, would have taken the one seed post trade deadline. Pretty amazing. Really is amazing. What you've been at most of these games. What are your like big takeaways, I guess, so far from the first 50 games?
Yeah, obviously, Shai somehow, some way, taking another jump from superstar to super duper star. he's been incredible. Obviously, I don't know if we thought that Shai could improve anymore, but he somehow has. And then Chet Holmgren being added to this team is obviously taking this team to another level. Jalen Williams, J-Dub, improved on his incredible rookie season to become, I mean, he's a star in the making. It's apparent. Those three have formed a true big three. Even if the team doesn't act like it, they have a big three. But the cool thing about this Thunder team is, like, you know, that most teams that have a superstar or that have a big two or a big three, it's very apparent. But this team chemistry and the way they act, they just don't feel that way off the court. And then Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace, Lou Dort improving, all these role players collectively improving and making this Thunder team be a team that's a contender far, far ahead of the curve and what anybody saw coming this season. So we've caught up on the last few months, so we can talk trade deadline
and
now.
I just want to protect you from a corner of Thunder Twitter that will come at you if you don't mention Aaron Wiggins when you mention all of the amazing depth pieces. I mean, he's saved basketball for you multiple times this season. So I just want to, you know, get out in front of that for you.
Thank you. Huge oversight on my part. Yes, Aaron Wiggins has been fantastic this season. And the Thunder can see it, obviously, as well. His playing time, his minutes have gone up. The last – I'm looking at the numbers. Over the past month, his numbers, his minutes have seen big strides, and what he's doing on the court has been what we've seen in small doses, but he's doing it now in medium doses and bigger doses. And like he's shooting – ridiculously well this season, like over 53% from three-point range this season, always in the right spot, always cutting at the right time, a good defender, high effort, high IQ, all the things that you want from a bench role player Aaron Wiggins provides.
And not bad for the 55th pick in the draft either.
Yeah, he was five spots away from being undrafted. That's
amazing.
That's bizarre. That's, I mean,
amazing.
We went through that draft off the air. We should have done this on a podcast, but Aaron Wiggins would absolutely be a first round pick if there was a redraft.
I remember going through that with you couple weeks ago. It's amazing how, and even I would say pre Christmas, he wasn't necessarily an every night guy, but he's really carved out a nightly role in this rotation, and it's a hard rotation to crack. There's a lot of quality players playing right now and playing well. So yeah, to see him contribute to a first place team in a very, very competitive West is just stoked for Aaron and for the team. The shot is, I mean, we've always kind of liked his 3-point shooting, just never thought it would sustain at more volume, or maybe he just wasn't going to get the minutes to for it to matter all that much. But it's a real threat now, especially in these minutes or these games without Isaiah Joe. It's been so valuable. So very pumped about Wiggins. But we're here to talk about the trade deadline. Oklahoma City makes a what would probably be considered a minor move by most, but this feels substantial in a few ways, and we're going to talk about those. Gordon Hayward from the Charlotte Hornets coming over for Vasilije Micic, which that was a bit of a surprise. We'll talk about that. And then Trey Mann and Davis Bertans. And what did we get? My brain is scrambled. It was a as well as 2 seconds, correct?
Yeah, two
I
future
don't want to get that
seconds.
wrong.
Yeah, two future seconds. We don't know what those seconds are yet. The Thunder have like 47 of them to trade away.
Right.
We don't know which ones they will be. But yeah, so Micic, Bertans, Trey Mann, and 2 seconds for Gordon Hayward.
Yep. So your initial thoughts, what are you like big picture takeaways, small takeaways, like go wherever you'd like.
Big picture takeaways, this helps the Thunder's rotation right away. Gordon Hayward, the one hang up on him obviously is health. When he's healthy, though, he's still a good player. He's averaging 14.5 points, 4.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds on pretty solid efficiency on the Charlotte Hornets this season. It's a really bad team. He's not surrounded by a lot of talent. He's going to be around much better players in a much better situation, much more open looks, and all those things in Oklahoma City. So he should be better in OKC than he's been with Charlotte. And he's been solid in Charlotte, even at 33 years old, even with the injury history. If he's on the floor, and by the way, he's supposed to be able to play immediately, Zach Lowe says, and he was upgraded to questionable even last night. So Gordon Hayward is going to play and play very soon for the Thunder. I think he takes rotation minutes right away. I think it's going to be a big chunk of minutes. And he helps him on the floor. Look, I think every Thunder fan has to appreciate Trey Mann for being a team first player, even though he fell out of the rotation. Part of the bench mob supports the team, absolutely. But he just fell out of the rotation. I think that we're all rooting for him and believe he's still young and talented and wanting to do well in Charlotte. But he wasn't in the rotation. Davis Bertans obviously wasn't in the rotation. And Micic, I've been high on Micic. I think he's a really good playmaker. I think that his shooting can come around. He's adjusting to the NBA 3-point line, but his minutes have been sporadic. He's been playing more lately. But ultimately, I think the Thunder get better this year and more importantly, this postseason. And they clear nearly $18 million of salary for this upcoming offseason. And so I think it's a win-win. I think even if Gordon Hayward were not to be healthy, you clear $18 million in cap space for who knows what they do in the offseason. But you get better now and you hopefully get better later with that money clearing. I just like I think it's a really, really smart move on the Thunder's part. And I think if we talk about the downside, the health risk, but when he's on the floor, another shooter with 6'7" size that can play make, drive and kick to go along Shea, Chet, and J-Dub, I really, really like his fit with the Thunder.
I want to hit on a couple of things you mentioned. The age, he's 33. That puts him closer to Mark's age than any of the starters, which is, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. Like this team is very young, and this guy's played in 29 playoff games, played in some big moments throughout his career. So that certainly helps, especially if he's on the floor. I want to give, definitely a shout out to Trey Mann. I've just been such a fan of the way he's handled this year and appreciate how involved and invested he's stayed. even when he wasn't playing. The team clearly just loves Trey Mann, and the pilot photo I will always love. I'm a big fan and definitely wish him well going to Charlotte. It feels like a low risk move. There's really no risk, if I'm being honest in this. You're talking about three guys that probably, like two guys that were certainly not going to play, throughout the rest of the year, and it's certainly into the playoffs. I would listen to someone who said Micić probably could have played in the playoffs. But this is certainly, if you were picking between a healthy Gordon Hayward or Vasilij Micić for playoff minutes, you're probably picking Gordon Hayward pretty easily for all the reasons you laid out. So I don't really think there's much risk in this for Oklahoma City. And like you said, long-term, moving into next summer, they like even before they let's take Usman Jang off the table, like not even doing anything with his deal, they're going to have over 30 million in space headed into the next off season. So that's also, it just gives them so much flexibility, both now and into the summer, that, this is, no shock. These are some of Presti's buzzwords. He loves having that flexibility, and this also makes them better on the floor. And it remains to be seen how much Hayward plays, like how many minutes, whose minutes he takes. We can get into some of that. Does this guy close games over someone? Like there are, I think very interesting questions coming up for how they used him. But the skill is still there. He's still got some juice. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be a real contributor, with some real upside. Like you mentioned, like he's playing on Charlotte. I think the numbers, the efficiency numbers, you have to really, that has to factor in, right? Like who he was playing with, the environment he was playing in. He was still shooting 41% from three and from the corners. I love that. I think that player, the guy that we were, any guy we were hoping for at the deadline, that was really the number I was looking at the most, because I think that player is going to play with, you were hoping for maybe a bigger wing. And that's what this guy is. I mean, he's 6'7". He's been around. This is a very accomplished player who can pass, dribble, shoot, and is going to be a net positive in this defensive scheme. So I think it's a big win, and he's good at what they're going to ask him to do. And that is to hit the corner three. And then when guys are going to, really attack and really close out to him, he can make teams pay for that. So I'm really excited about, asterisk, a healthy Gordon Hayward for this team. I think it's a big get for a very, very low price.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's high reward, basically no risk.
Right.
If you're looking at the Western Conference, there's only four teams that made any moves whatsoever to improve the roster. The Mavs did pretty well by getting PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. The Suns did well by getting Royce O'Neal. And I'm forgetting one. I tweeted
Minnesota got Monte Morris.
Yeah, I always forget about that one because it didn't happen today. Monte Morris to the Timberwolves as a backup point guard. But the Thunder added a guy that absolutely, when healthy, helps the rotation. One of only four teams, and the only team in the top four, or I'm sorry, the Wolves. Again, forgot about Monte Morris. So the Wolves and the Thunder are the only two of that, that top four that's basically in this fight for the 1 through 4 seeds. The Thunder, the Clippers, the Nuggets, and the Wolves. The Thunder getting Hayward and the Wolves getting Morris I'll remember that eventually. The only ones that made moves, Nuggets stood pat, Clippers stood pat, even the Lakers and Warriors stood pat. The Pelicans stayed pat. So look, the Thunder gave up what essentially two players not in the rotation, a player barely in the rotation, cleared $18 million of cap space, and 2 second-round picks for a guy that's going to help this team in the playoffs.
Yeah. And it should be noted, before we get to Oklahoma City's role in that Dallas-Washington deal, these are the teams that will be ineligible to sign a player waived. So if there is a player headed to the buyout market with a pre-existing salary of $12.4 million or more, these are the teams who are ineligible to sign those players: Golden State, the Clippers, Boston, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Denver, Miami. So two of the top four in the West that you mentioned who didn't do anything today at the deadline are also second apron teams, which make them takes a lot of the higher end buyout guys off the table for them. So that's another note, because I was keeping an eye on the Clippers, really thought they might be a PJ Washington team, and they weren't. So if you were tracking those top tier teams in the West, it was really that move you're talking about, Monte Morris to Minnesota, that happened, and that was about it. Let's go to the first round pick that Oklahoma City sent out to help facilitate that Daniel Gafford deal to the Mavericks. Why don't you take us through the pick we sent out and what was returned?
Yeah, so the Thunder send out the second worst of their 2024 first round picks, which right now is the 26th pick to the Clippers. Who knows if it'll end up being either the Thunder pick or the Clippers pick this year, but it's one of the two. And in return, they get an unprotected 2028 swap with the Mavs. So essentially,
and is that confirmed? Unprotected? I haven't seen any protections on it, but I haven't seen that confirmed.
I'm saying it is, only because the Thunder sent out an official press release and it says nothing about protections. So I'm going to assume it's unprotected just because they didn't mention it in the press release. That may change. But look, the Thunder get the chance for a high upside swap in 2028. Who knows what this Mavs team is going to look like in 2028? Will they have Kyrie Irving? It's the year after Luka Doncic's contract is up. So, you know, is Luka with the Mavs? Is he not with the Mavs? How good are the Thunder in 2028? This 2024 draft is considered really weak. The Thunder already traded their worst pick in the 2024 draft because they had four. Now they're trading their second worst of their four picks. They still have the Rockets pick, top four protected. Right now it's hanging around the 10 or 11 area. They have the Jazz pick, top 10 protected. It's right around the 13th spot right now. So the Thunder may still get two lottery picks after trading away two late picks in a weak draft for the chance to swap in 2028. I saw Stephen Dolan on Thunder Twitter say it like this: the Thunder traded what's going to be a bad pick in a bad draft this year for what could be highest upside, swapping the number 30 pick for the number one pick in 2028. So that's one way to look at it. Obviously, that's best case scenario. But even if, let's say the Thunder have the 27th pick in 2028 and the Mavs, you know, creep into the playoffs because they still have Luka, but, you know, they failed to put good guys around him. They have the 16th pick to move up, you know, 10 to 12 spots in 2028, as opposed to a late first round pick in a weak draft. That's a good move. And it's a good bet to make, I think. I think it's another smart move. Quality over quantity is what the Presti and the Thunder are looking at with all these picks.
Yeah, we were really hoping for that that swap to be unprotected, and it looks, as of now, like it is. So that is that's good news, and that's good business, like you're saying. Like getting out, I think they really wanted to get out of this draft, and some of the moves that Utah made today could put them, it could mean that their pick does not convey this year, which I think could be a really big win long term for the Thunder. I think the Thunder wouldn't mind at all seeing that pick roll over to next year, which I think it's still top 10 protected next year. And then in 26, I believe it's top 8 protected. So I think they're more than fine with Utah slipping in the standings and keeping their pick this coming year. That's from the Derek Favors trade dump, if you're wondering what we're talking about. If you're listening to this, you probably know exactly what we're talking about. I wanted to mention Brandon Treyman about 15 minutes ago tweeted, "OKC, it's forever love," with a blue heart emoji, and we stan.
Yeah, I think that it's very obvious that Treyman has nothing for but love for this Thunder community, fans, organization, teammates. He's been like the ultimate, you know, teammate, team first guy. He's a guy that was picked in the first round just a couple years ago, the 2021 draft. And he's shown flashes. I'll never forget his rookie season. He had two different quarters where he scored over 20 points in a quarter. I mean, the dude can score buckets and bunches. I'll never forget the Josh Giddey, Trey Mann, both of them rookies, leading the Thunder to a win in Madison Square Garden when Shea was hurt. He's got talent. He dominated the summer league this past summer.
The summer league dunk was electric.
Yes. The dude has had some highlight film dunks, summer league and NBA regular season. He's athletic. He can shoot. He can score in bunches. He just had too many guys in front of him in this Thunder rotation. And, you know, in the defense, I think he tries on defense. I think the effort is there, but I don't think it's quite up to what the Thunder are looking for in rotation players. But I think with the Charlotte team, hopefully Trey will get some minutes. Trey will get some burn and be able to show what he's got. I remember Damian Lillard like said on a podcast, "What's one young player that you think, you know, is better than people know?" And he pinpointed Trey Mann and said if he was on another team, you'd be able to see him play. He just can't in OKC. So now hopefully we'll be able to see. But again, going back to Trey's tweet, yeah, nothing but love, I think, from Trey to OKC and the fans.
A huge shock, for me at least, is our boy Poku survived the trade deadline. This was a big shock. I thought the Bertans deal was certainly headed out the door, and I thought Poku would be as well. I did find it, you know, interesting that when it seemed like the Thunder were going to have to be including more salary going out to Charlotte, I think everybody thought it would be Poku. And then it comes out that it's Micić. And I think there was some there. That was probably the biggest surprise of the day for me, was that it was Micić instead of Poku. But it does make sense in that Poku's coming off the books this offseason regardless. And it really does clear up so much room for the summer. And I just can't help but feel like Presti is already like pulling the arrow back, lining things up for something substantial this offseason after he sees this team in a playoff series.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise too, because the initial report was Davis Bertans and Trey Mann, and no mention of Vasilije Micić or any draft picks. I think that once we all looked at the money going back and forth, it was obvious the Thunder were going to have to attach some more money, and we all assumed Poku because he is expiring. In one way, you know, obviously Micić was in the rotation. and Poku was not. And I think that had there not been a Gordon Hayward trade, Micić stays in the rotation and Poku does not. That said, though, Micić also had two more years in addition to this one on his contract at $7.7 million, whereas Poku is expiring. So from the Thunder standpoint, yes, Micić was the better player, but they're also freeing up that much more money this offseason, which may end up being more important to OKC because the Poku contract is expiring anyways.
Do you have any thoughts on, you know, there's a lot of people that were hoping for a big, expecting a trade for a big off the bench. I think they're nationally, Drummond kept coming up. I don't think that was ever, obviously, it was never really a way that they were going to go, given how they play. But do you still think that there's a need there? Do you think maybe they could address it with a buyout guy? Or are you just good on that and you're fine with going into the playoffs with this type of rotation?
I see both sides of it. You know, the Thunder have had rebounding issues all season long, but they overcome that. Obviously, they're tied for number one in the West in other ways. It's like giving up that specific thing for other things. Gordon Hayward, while not, you know, some elite rebounder by any means, I mean, he does average nearly 5 rebounds per game, and he's got some decent size, 6'7", 6'8" wingspan. So you are adding some size to the rotation. If you look at it as the only player going out was Micić at 6'5", and you add a dude at 6'7" that plays the 3-4 as opposed to the 1, they do get a little bit more size. They do have 2 open roster spots. Even if they were to give one of those spots to a two-way player like Keontae Johnson, who does have a little bit of size, not really height, but he's a big dude. But I do think that the Thunder could be players in the buyout market. It makes sense with the open roster spots and with the salary cap space that they still have to play with.
We saw Robin Lopez get moved, and it looks like he's going to be waived instantly. You know, we start, you know, getting asked about him. So you're going to see more of that. There's going to be guys that the teams waive, and there's going to be some big guys in that group. And Oklahoma City, you'll see people attach their names to that player. So we'll see what happens in the buyout market. Usually buyout guys aren't necessarily big contributors. Oklahoma City's had a couple over the years. Shout out to Derek Fisher, who have contributed, who have played a lot. But we'll see on that. I'm not surprised that, you know, there really just wasn't that big out there beyond Kelly Olynyk. Once he went, like, that felt like that ship was sailed, you know. When he went to Toronto, it seemed like that was the if they wanted to get a big off the bench that still, you know, played in a way that Oklahoma City likes to play, it was him. And are you fine with not giving up a first for him? Because that's what it took, and Oklahoma City obviously has those in spades. So are you fine with not sending that out for him?
Yeah, I like Kelly Olynyk, and I think he would have helped this Thunder team on the boards with some size, shooting, spacing, a solid playmaker for being a big. And I would have been fine with the Thunder, honestly, giving up a first for him just because they have so many. If it would have been, you know, a protected first, not at all a high upside first, I think that would have been fine. That said, I also like Gordon Hayward. And if Gordon Hayward is healthy, you know, I think that he helps this team, and they were able to get it able to get him and clear salary cap space and not give up a first. So I think that, and if you ask me which player helps more, I think Olynyk, you know, the fit makes a little bit more sense because of the size and you still get the shooting. I do think that Gordon Hayward is, again, when healthy, when on the court, is a pretty dynamic player. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. You upgrade your roster without giving up the first round pick that you would have had to get for Kelly Olynyk. But I like Olynyk. I should go on right here and say that. And I would have been happy with that trade for the Thunder.
Last thing I want to hit on. Micić going out, in theory, opens up guard minutes off the bench. How do you see the rotation adjusting with Hayward? Is there any thought for you that Giddey either, I'm not going to say doesn't start, but comes out earlier for him to, you know, spearhead the bench unit and him being more on the ball? How do you see that playing out? Because there are minutes now, and there's a bit more opportunity, a bit more on-ball opportunities to start the second and fourth quarters, at least until the playoffs begin. I don't know if Case and Wallace is – I don't know if they're ready to just hand it over to Case. So what are your thoughts on how they divvy out those minutes and opportunities?
Yeah, I think basically the backup point guard to Shea is – J-Dub and or Josh Giddey, but the Thunder are also comfortable. We've seen it with pretty much every single player bringing the ball up and initiating the offense. And that goes from Case and Wallace to Isaiah Joe to Kenrich Williams to Chet Holmgren. That's their whole thing. They want ball handlers and playmakers across the board so that anybody can bring up the ball. But as you've seen when Shea sits, it's usually J-Dub, Giddey or Micić leading that bench unit, or staggered even with other starters. That's the thing. The Thunder don't play a true first five and second five. They stagger the guys, and I think this move just continues to show that. Hayward can handle the ball as well, and he can play make as well. Not that he'll be a backup point guard, but I think the Thunder completely comfortable once Shea sits, the ball being in J-Dub, Giddey, Case and Wallace's hands. So I don't think that they have a need for a true backup point guard or expect Case and Wallace to be that guy.
To me, I think there's a real opportunity here to keep J-Dub on the floor in the first quarter longer with Shea, which I think the numbers would scream that that's always a good thing for this team. I think there's a real opportunity to have Giddey out by like the 7-8 minute mark of the first and third for a guy like Isaiah Joe or Gordon Hayward. And for Giddey, like, I think if they're going to get the most out of Giddey for the rest of the season, he's got to have some on ball minutes. And I think this could lead to him getting those minutes to start the second and to start the fourth. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know which way Mark Daigneault will take this. He's honestly pretty unpredictable. And once you think that you have him pegged in his rotation picks, he switches up again. It's so true. He'll do things like, oh, second half, we're not going to start Lou Dort. We're going to play Case and Wallace instead. He's pretty unpredictable, which makes it fun to watch him follow. I do think that ultimately adding a guy in Gordon Hayward who can handle and that can shoot and be it, he's a true scorer off the bat. I mean, the dude, again, is scoring nearly 15 points a game for a bad Charlotte Hornets team. And he's doing it fairly efficiently. You know, all things considered, he can still shoot. You still have to account for him. So if this dude is coming off the bench, that's a nice scoring punch off the bench that the Thunder, you know, you can add that to Isaiah Joe. You can add that to Case and Wallace. The Thunder has some true guys off the bench. Kenrich Williams. I think that any given night, Aaron Wiggins, again, need to shout Aaron. I think that any given night, we could see, you know, any of those guys being first off the bench or getting more minutes or less minutes, and J-Dub getting more or less minutes, you know, with the first five or leading the bench. I'd hate to make a prediction because Mark Daigneault could switch it up game to game. But I do think that there's a formula with this J-Dub bench. Now, the J-Dub Micić minutes have been really good. Should say that. But I think that J-Dub Hayward minutes would be really good as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well,
those are two jumbo scores that could conceivably be playing against bench units. Or, you know, even if you look at Giddy as that guy instead of J-Dub, and J-Dub stays on, you know, and plays more minutes with Shea, then you got Giddy and Hayward as jumbo dudes that are playing, you know, against other teams' second units. The Thunder have so many options. You know, and if they go out and get a big on the buyout market, that just adds to it.
Before we go, give us the lineup that includes Hayward that you're most excited to see.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Isaiah Joe, Gordon Hayward, J-Dub, Chet Holmgren. You're surrounding Shai with four really good shooters and four dudes who move the ball. Four dudes that are really good offensive players all around, smart players, find the right shot, and just enough defense between Chet, J-Dub, Shai, and then, of course, Isaiah Joe is like, you know, all effort, taking charges all over the place. And Gordon Hayward, you know, he's not by any means a good defender, but he's a smart defender. He uses his size well. He's a passable defender, even at 33. That's the lineup I'm most excited about. Shai, Joe, Dub, Hayward, and Chet.
I would agree with that completely. That's the one I'm super pumped to see. All right, we're going to wrap it there. We are stoked to be back. We will be back weekly through the rest of the season, and that does give us some leeway for an emergency pod here or there when stuff happens. We will be here to talk about it. So, Brandon, thanks so much. As always, and to Thunder fans, we're back, and we're excited to take this through the rest of the season. We'll talk to you soon. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast.